Well, g'day everyone. Welcome to The Journey this week. It's the fifth Sunday of Easter. We're moving through this season of joy, leading into Pentecost now. And we've got a show that has been described to me by our sound editor, Max Norden, as one which is in your face. Lots of references to the face of God and watching other people's faces. Great to be hearing from a couple of people we haven't heard from for a while as part of the mix of our show. And I include in that Michelle Vass. I did some study with Michelle years ago when we were studying for a Masters of Religious Education together. She's a woman with a really strong background in spiritual formation and spiritual growth. She used to look after the retreat centre up at Douglas Park. She's all around the country these days, doing lots of amazing things. She's going to speak to us about the spirituality of the heart today. Haven't heard from Mark Rowie from a while either. He's from Catholic Mission Australia. He does that in our diocese, the Diocese of Wollongong. Great work that Catholic Mission does right around the world and in Australia. His segment, Hearts on Fire, Feet on the Ground, he wants to talk to us about the face of God this week. We're going to be hearing from Father Tony Percy, of course. His segment, The Word, is always worthwhile listening to. Mother Hilda Scott, Wisdom from the Abbey. She's got a reflection for us on the wonderful Thomas Merton. But to kick us off with Father Mark DiBattista, he's got the task this week of breaking open for us this Gospel of John 15, 1-8. It's the Gospel set down for the fifth Sunday of Easter, where we hear that Jesus is the vine and we are the branches of that line. I often say it to people, apart from me, we are hearing from our Lord, you can do nothing. Not some things, not little things. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So the importance of being connected to the vine and how pruning of any vine takes place for growth, really. So great to have Father Mark breaking that open for us as we kick off this week's show. Lots to get through, lots of really good music in the mix as well. We're going to be hearing from Third Day, You Are So Good to Me. But to start, as we always should, we're going to kick off with scriptures and the Gospel of John this week, and then the reflection from Father Mark and how pruning can be hard but leads to greater fruitfulness. All right, let's get into it. Heaps to get through in this pretty jam-packed show this week. Faith, hope, love and life. My name's Jude Hennessy. So glad you've joined us on the journey.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that bears no fruit, he cuts away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes to make it bear even more. You are pruned already by means of the word that I have spoken to you. Make your home in me as I make mine in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit all by itself, but must remain part of the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever remains in me, with me in him, bears fruit in plenty. For cut off from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is like a branch that has been thrown away. He withers. These branches are collected and thrown on the fire, and they are burnt. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask what you will, and you shall get it. It is to the glory of my Father that you should bear much fruit, and then you will be my disciples. The Gospel of the Lord. And now, the Gospel Reflection with Father Mark DiBattista.
Our Lord so often uses images that are so directly understood by his listeners. This time he uses that of the vine and the vine dresser. Again, most of the people in his time would have either had a vine or two in the backyard or perhaps worked for someone who had a lot more. I don't have a green thumb, but those who do tell me that when you're pruning, you've got to be careful as you prune to make sure that it's a clean cut. And that in fact, the growth that happens after a pruning, in fact, is a direct survival attempt on behalf of the plant to just live. It feels like it's an attack on it, and then all the extra nutrients are sent into that part of the plant to make it grow. Now, our Lord uses this image, and the people listening to him would have understood this very, very well, that if, for instance, the pruning doesn't get done properly, what can happen? Disease can set in, and the plant can develop a fungus and then possibly die, or at least part of it. But when Jesus talks about the pruning that goes on, for those who bear fruit, well, the image itself hurts. When we think about ourselves being pruned by God, being pruned by the Heavenly Father, by His Word, by the manifold ways in which He prunes us, we think, maybe sometimes I enjoy the idea of pruning, but the thought that I'm going to be hurt in order to bear more fruit doesn't particularly appeal to me. And I don't know about you, but that's in fact what's necessary in order for us to keep on growing in our discipleship in Christ. That's why Jesus Christ, in fact, says about his teaching on the cross that we must carry the cross every day. And in particular, during these 50 days of Easter season, we are looking at the mystery of the cross that has led to the resurrection. A mystery, but we see it repeated in our lives time and time again. Our Lord also talks about the possibility of not bearing fruit. What happens to such a branch? The one who does not remain in him, they dry up and then they are cut off and thrown into the fire. Not something any of us really wants to consider. But we should ask ourselves the question, what does it mean, therefore, to remain in Jesus Christ? Well, it's the things we already know, to engage in prayer, to reflect upon His Word, to allow His Word to speak to us, not just to wash over our minds, but to in fact percolate into our hearts so that it can convict us of truth and falsehood that is there within us. When the Word finds truth inside of us, then it brings peace and consolation. When it finds falsehood, it makes us uncomfortable. We live in a culture that is very much about wearing masks, very much about keeping up a good appearance. But in fact, with God, that means nothing because He sees right through it all. So as we listen to these familiar words of Christ, we remember that we, in order to be great disciples, we must be close to Him and remain united with Him.
You're listening to The Journey, music, interviews, and wisdom for living life to the full.
You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. And I will sing again. So good to me, you heal my broken heart, you are my Father in heaven. You are so good to me, you heal my broken heart, you are my Father in heaven. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song.
Listening to The Journey, music, interviews, and wisdom for living life to the full.
Now, wisdom from the Abbey with Mother Hilda.
There was a famous monk in America. His name was Thomas Merton. He lived in a fairly strict and silent Trappist monastery in Kentucky from about 1943 to somewhere in the 1960s. He came from a rich and varied background, though it was fairly materially poor at the outset. His father was an artist from New Zealand, his mother was an artist from America, and he spent most of his early years in France with them. That was all disrupted when his mother died of cancer and the family was split. Eventually, Thomas went back to France with his father and thence to school in England, while his younger brother stayed with his maternal grandparents in America. While still a teenager, his father died of a brain tumour. And Thomas well and truly embarked on his life of search, sometimes with disastrous results. The poem Hound of Heaven by Francis Thompson well and truly fitted Thomas Merton. It goes something like, I fled him down the nights and down the days, I fled him down the labyrinthine ways of my own mind, and in despair I hid from him. However, God did catch up with him, and Thomas knew conversion. Eventually, he joined the Gethsemane Monastery in Kentucky. Now, it was several years before he was able to venture outside the monastery. A medical appointment took him to the city of Louisville, not far away. He found himself standing at the corner of 4th and Walnut Street, looking at all the people rushing about. Remember, he hadn't seen people en masse like this for some time. A moment of grace swept over him. It was almost with fresh eyes that he saw all those people, and his heart was moved. I felt suddenly overwhelmed, he recorded in his journal, with the realization that I loved these people, that they were mine and I was theirs. They could not be alien to me. We could not be alien to one another. We could never be total strangers. It so affected him. He went on to say, there is no way of telling people that they are walking around shining like the sun. How was it that Thomas could see that? It was simple. He'd spent time in prayer. He'd begun to see things with the eyes of God. You and I are walking around shining like the sun too. and we'll see it in ourselves and in others directly to the degree that we're people who pray, who are in touch with God. Next time you're in a shopping mall, stand back and look at the people rushing about. Pay attention to their faces. Look at the picture of their lives shown in the way they dress and carry themselves. Take more than a minute to do this and do it consciously with God. It may just happen that you too will see them shining like the sun.
Thanks so much to Mother Hilda Scott there. Wisdom from the Abbey is her segment. A piece that she this week called Shining Like the Sun. Some reflections on the thoughts and writings of Thomas Merton, and a bit of a direction for us to take notice of people's faces. Now, it tells us so much about the story of their lives. It certainly helps us in praying for others too. Thanks to Mother Hilda Scott there, to Father Mark, who before the break, right at the top of the show, broke open this week's gospel for us, Pruning for Growth. Coming up after this break, you're going to hear from the wonderful Father Tony Percy. He's got a unique ability to distill pretty deep and pretty involved concepts into really digestible insights for living the Christian life. That's the word coming up after the break. Not before some more music, though. House Fire, See Your Face, and Wren Collective as well. My Lighthouse. That's one of my favourite songs. Faith, Hope, Love and Life. My name's Jude Hennessy, and you're on the journey.
Together on the journey, faith, hope, and love for life in all its fullness.
my wrestling and in my doubts, in my failures, you won't walk out. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea. In the silence, you won't let go. In the questions, your truth will hold. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, my lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you. To shore, safe to shore, safe to shore, safe to shore. I won't feel what tomorrow brings. With each morning, I'll rise and sing. My God's love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea. Oh, you are my light, my lighthouse, my lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you. Oh, my lighthouse, my lighthouse, I will trust the promise, you will carry me safe to shore.
Now, with the word, here's Father Tony Percy with his weekly reflection.
I mentioned to you last week the I am statements in the Gospel of John. It's a real feature of the Gospel of John. There are many features in the Gospel of John, but the I am statements are very interesting. There are seven of them. They begin with I am the bread of life, and they finish with the one we have today for our fifth Sunday readings, which is I am the vine, you are the branches. The I am statements begin as, and their sort of origin, as I mentioned to you last week, is that Jesus multiplies the loaves and fishes, feeds the large crowd, and then says to the apostles, off you go, go across the lake. They head into the boat, onto the lake they go and row, get into trouble. He then walks across the water and says to them, I am, be not afraid. That's the name that God said to Moses, look, when you go back to the people, tell them, I am. And so Jesus takes the name to himself and says, I am. And John then, I think probably through what we call a literary device, says there are I am statements right throughout the gospel. There are seven of them, he says, beginning with I am the bread of life and finishing with the one we have today, which is I'm the vine, you are the branches. Last week, as you recall, was I am the good shepherd. I am God saying I am who I am. It's a magnificent piece in the book of Exodus, and Jesus takes it up and John takes it up in the book of John, the Gospel of John. So this image, I am the vine, you are the branches, is incredibly organic. It's a magnificent image. I am the vine, you are the branches. United to me, you bear much fruit. So it's, as I say, it's a very organic image. It's worthwhile us reflecting that we have to bloom where we're planted with Christ. It's no good waiting for a time that's going to arrive where we think it's going to be the right time for us to be more fruitful in our life with Christ and the spreading of the gospel to others. There'll never be the right time or certain circumstances we're waiting for which will help us to be more confident in our relationship with Christ or in our spreading of the gospel. No, now's the right time. We have to bloom where we're planted. I am the vine, Jesus says, you are the branches. Mother Teresa of Calcutta used to say, God is not expecting from us that we be successful, but we be faithful. And in light of today's gospel, we simply say, well, God is not expecting us to be busy. No, He's expecting us to be fruitful. I'm the vine, you are the branches. He goes on to say in the text, of course, and this is perhaps a little bit more difficult with the image, that the branch that doesn't bear fruit, it'll be cut off, and the branch that does bear fruit, it'll be pruned to be ever more fruitful. So this is the dynamic that the Father, God the Father, is the vine dresser, and He's going to continually work away in our life to make us fruitful as best we can if we let Him. That's all we have to do, just have the conviction to let Him. So maybe the circumstances of life, it may be this particular event that's happened, it may be something that we're struggling with personally, but we just got to hang in there and God will bring it all to fulfillment. So it's entirely necessary that we have some sort of pruning because He is the vine, we are the branches, and united to Him, we will be extremely fruitful.
Thanks so much to Father Tony Percy there. Always good to hear from Father Tony. He's from down the Queen Beyan region. I was talking to him recently and heard about the number of people that he had becoming members of the church over this last few months, usually occurring in the Catholic Church at that reception into the church on Easter. He's certainly doing something right down there in invitation and proposing the gospel and drawing people into a life of discipleship. After the break, we're going to hear from Mr. Mark Rowey. He's the Director of Catholic Mission for the Diocese of Wollongong, has lots of interactions with other directors of that wonderful organisation around Australia and around the world. His segment's called Hearts on Fire and Feet on the Ground. And this week he wants us to ponder the face of God. That's not too far away. Here's some more music, though, as you have come to expect with The Journey. Always great music. Nathan Fawcett. Made in Your Image. Faith, hope, love and life. My name's Jude Hennessy. You're on the journey.
I was made by You, made in Your image. I'm seated with You in heavenly places.
faith, hope, love, and life. This is The Journey.
And now, encouraging us to have hearts on fire and feet on the move, here's Mark Rowey.
Teresa of Avila is the patron saint of Spain and a larger-than-life character from the 16th century, a time in history when there was enormous conquest and colonisation by the Spanish into Central and South America. That is indeed a fascinating, if not a controversial, topic in itself, but not the topic for today. Teresa is renowned as a spiritual mystic, a prolific writer, and a religious reformer. I grew up unknowingly under her influence, not because my parents really ever spoke about her, but because my wonderful parents seemingly followed her spiritual tradition of meditating on the suffering and the death of Jesus, especially at Easter. This is something Teresa was devoted to. Every Good Friday, I was handed a little booklet that did exactly that, reflecting on the Passion of Christ at Calvary. It had a big impact upon my faith journey, but I later came to appreciate the life and writings of Teresa of Avila for other reasons. There's a prayer that has been attributed to her that has been my life mantra for the past 30 years and which has very much influenced my expression of Christianity and given me a sense of mission and purpose in the world. Here is an abridged version. Christ has no body now but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes through which Christ looks with compassion on the world. Yours are the feet with which Christ walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which Christ blesses the world. You may have heard of the expression, the face of God. It is a phrase I became fascinated with when I was reflecting on our role here on earth as Christians, given that Jesus physically left this earth 2,000 years ago. Christian followers, or disciples, have a mission here on earth, inspired by the Holy Spirit sent down at Pentecost, to be the face of God in whatever circumstances we find ourselves in, and for however long we walk on this planet. And that means to embody the sentiments of Teresa of Avila's prayer. That is, to be the face of God, here on earth for all those we encounter. Through baptism, we are commissioned or anointed, if you like, to bring the good news to the poor, freedom to captives, sight to the blind, etc. How? Through our bodies, hands, feet, ears and eyes, to be the tangible face of God. It's not an arrogant or a narcissistic claim, but more of a recognition that Christian disciples are called to act in God's name, to be that compassionate face that people can see, recognise and embrace. Or, as Teresa says, to be the hands with which Christ blesses the world. The organisation I work for, Catholic Mission, believes exactly that. We are called to continue to help unfold the mission of God wherever we are, with family, neighbours, colleagues, strangers, here in the comfort of our own neighbourhood, or sometimes overseas in the most impoverished parts of the world. The 16th century wisdom of St. Teresa of Avila still rings true today. We are all called to be the face of God. I'm Mark Rowey from Catholic Mission. Find out more about us at catholicmission.org.au.
Oh, that was great. Mark Rowey, thanks so much for your contribution to this week's show. I hope you enjoyed it. It was called The Face of God and how St. Teresa of Avila had a big impact upon Mark's own faith journey and the understanding that Christ has no body, no hands, no feet on earth now but yours. What a great grace it is to be able to cooperate with the Spirit and be the hands and the feet and the eyes under the prompting of the Holy Spirit, being the presence of Christ in the world that desperately needs it. Now, after the break, to round out the show, you've got some great stuff from Michelle Vass. She's going to point us back to the reason for this Easter season, that Jesus is risen. To get us there, though, there's the Porter's Gate, some great music from them, and the song We Labour Unto Glory. Faith, hope, love and life. We're getting near the end, but I'm so glad you've joined us this week on The Journey.
My God, wherever I go, glory. Where I reap and where I sow, glory. And my hands, they grip the thorn, glory. In the still and in the storm, glory. Glory. Oh, we
Sophia, I'm from Minnesota in the United States, and you're listening to The Journey.
In a time full of war, be peace. In a time full of doubt, just believe. Yeah, there ain't that much difference between you and me. Time full of war will be peace. In a world full of hate, be a light. When you do somebody wrong, make it right. Don't hide in the dark, you were born to shine. In a world full of hate, be a light. In a place that change and make a difference. In a time full of noise, just listen. 'Cause life is but a breeze, better live it. In a place that needs a change, make a difference. In a world full of hate, be a light. When you do somebody wrong, line is 6 feet in the ground. In a race you can't win, just slow it down. In a world full of hate, be a light. Oh, when you do somebody wrong, make it right, make it right. Don't hide in the dark, you were born to shine. In a world full of hate, see black and white. In a world full of hate, be a light.
Together on the journey, faith, hope, and love for life in all its fullness.
Now, with Spirituality of the Heart, here's Michelle Voss.
Twice in chapter 24 of Luke's Gospel, we hear that Jesus is risen. First, two angels at the tomb tell the women, "He is risen." Later, the 11, who have been told of the women's experience and checked the tomb, confirm for the two disciples from Emmaus, "Yes, it is true. The Lord is risen." Our Orthodox brothers and sisters have a customary greeting for Easter. "Christ is risen," one says, and the other responds, "Indeed, he is risen." It's a lovely ritual, but how do we know Jesus is risen? Can we see it in our world, in each other? I heard this prayer recently, passed on from a friend of a friend. It's called Mafalda's Prayer, and I think it's actually a good checklist for the risenness in our lives. It begins like this: "Every time a person is respected and heard, Christ is risen. Every time a person is accepted for who they are, Christ is risen. Every time a person is treated with dignity and the awareness that all of us are equal, Christ is risen. Every time a child is nourished and fed and feels love and affection, Christ is risen. Every time a person finds the strength to overcome addiction and search for real meaning, Christ is risen. Every time a person can laugh at their own inadequacies and failings and still keep on trying, Christ is risen. This story has no end, for Christ is risen in our midst. Where there is hope, healing, compassion, care for the earth, comfort, laughter, an open ear, a friendly word or a gentle touch, an open mind, Christ is risen. He is not dead." So, how did you fare? Have you seen resurrection happen when you give others respect and acceptance? Have you known resurrection in your own life when you humbly receive hope and compassion? I'm sure that most of us do our best to live the good news. But perhaps the message for us this Easter is to explicitly see these little everyday resurrections as Jesus rising again in each and every one of us. Then, with St. Paul, we too can say, "It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." Alleluia.
You called me from the grave by name. You called me out of all my shame. I see the old is passed away. The new has come. Now
you have given us freedom.
Great song to finish there. Chris Tomlin, Resurrection Power. Great post-Easter song. Well, Easter season song. Thanks to Max Norton, who's put this show together with great music like that, and to Michelle Vass, who finished off the show for us this week with a really, really wonderful input that she called Jesus is Risen and the daily resurrection of Jesus in our hearts, in our minds, in our actions, and in diving into God's mercy, particularly after we failed, after we've fallen. That's our superpower, repentance, opening ourselves to grace and knowing that God always picks us up, dusts us off and says, let's go again. That is the point of Easter. That's the point of this season. Thank you to Michelle, to Mark Rowey, to Father Tony Percy, Mother Hilda Scott, of course, and Father Mark DiBattista, who at the start of the show broke open this week's gospel for us. We will be doing it all again next week. Thank you so much for listening into this week's show. I hope you've enjoyed it. We love preparing it for you each and every week, and I hope it's blessed you and calling you into deeper relationship and more fervent discipleship with our Lord in the power of the Holy Spirit. Faith, hope, love and life. My name's Jude Hennessy, and you've been on The Journey.
The Journey is presented by Jude Hennessy and produced by Max Norden on Darawal Country in the office of the Bishop for the Catholic Diocese of Wollongong.